Welcome everyone to episode 5 of Buzz IT Talk, the podcast where we talk buzzwords and the latest trends within the tech industry with the goal of helping businesses and decision makers go beyond the buzz. This is your host, David Weaver. I recently sat down with Dr. Boris Michel to discuss the topic of business intelligence. In this episode, I introduced a new segment called the Buzzer Beater Round, in which I asked my interview partner a series of 5 either-or questions that must be answered within 15 seconds. And of course, they are tech-related questions. This new segment provides for a bit more of a relaxed atmosphere and allows the listeners to get to know my interview partners a bit better. After the Buzzer Beater Round, we got into some questions that help discover what is behind this shiny, fancy term of business intelligence. Boris talks about some of the latest trends and challenges associated with business intelligence, and we close out the interview with a peek into the future of what may be in store for the field of business intelligence in the coming years. So without further ado, here is my interview with Dr. Boris Michel. The main topic of this episode is business intelligence. Therefore, it only seemed fitting that I went out and found a data scientist or BI expert to ask all of my questions. I have Dr. Boris Michel with me here today. Boris is part of Inform's business intelligence unit and has worked with some very large and exciting companies in their quest to more intelligently use the data they collect in the business arena. Welcome to the show, Dr. Boris Michel.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Sure. In one of my first episodes, I had Michael Skiba on the show, and he's an expert in the fraud fighting and fraud detection space, and he trademarked the name Dr. Fraud, which I thought was really cool. It's a smart move, right? And so you also have a doctor title. I was wondering, what do you think about trademarking Dr. Data? Could that be an option?
He caught me kind of off guard there. But
yeah,
I don't know if that's a brand name that I can take, kind of considering that most of the company kind of works with data. But
yeah,
if you think that's fitting for me, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm honored. Yeah, thanks
very much.
Could
be a good marketing thing. You can look into it if it's still available.
Yeah, I'll have a look. Yeah,
but in all seriousness, that doctor title, you do have a doctor title. It comes from a different field, though. As I understand, you earned your doctorate in organic chemistry, so I would like to start there. First question, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and how a doctor in organic chemistry came into the field of business intelligence.
Yeah, of course. So I got my doctorate in organic chemistry, but it sounds as if it would be a little bit far-fetched from what I'm doing today. Uh-huh. But I was working in process optimization, process intensification. So my main goal in during my PhD was looking at how people were doing things today and trying to find a way how they could do them more efficiently, do them speed them up, get more out of what they're trying to achieve, and come up with novel ideas on how they could do that. Mm-hmm. Right? Try some groundbreaking new methods to find ways to do things more efficiently, and also trying to push the paradigm further. So, yeah, coming from
some
this,
relation
kind,
there.
Coming from this angle, yeah. it kind of translates, right? It's just the matter that changed, right? So instead of using organic matter or chemicals, I'm using data today, mm-hmm. and trying to find patterns, trying to find ways that people interact with data that they've got in their day-to-day business, and trying to use this to enable them to work more efficiently and more determined towards what they're trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So before we jump into more details on business intelligence, and before we jump into the really tough questions, I'm officially, also catching you off guard, integrating a new segment into the show that I intend to use with all future guests. It will allow the audience to get to know my interview partners a bit better. It's called the Buzzer Beater Round, for lack of a better name. I just came up with it really quick. Buzzer Beater Round. I'm going to ask you a series of 5 questions. They're either or questions, and you have to answer within 15 seconds.
All right.
And the questions will, of course, for the most part, be tech related. So, you ready?
Let's go on.
Then I will start. Bitcoin or dollar?
Bitcoin.
Video games or board games?
Definitely both.
Mac or PC?
PC.
Manned or unmanned automobile?
Unmanned.
Pie chart or bar graph?
Definitely bar.
Okay. Nice. We made it just in time. Well, I was surprised by some of those answers, I would have to say. I tested these questions on some people before, and you seem to be really the unmanned automobile. You're looking forward to being driven around by the latest artificial intelligence car.
Well, there's some, apart from the ethical discussion that people are having these days, right? I think that's quite, since I'm on the road a lot, right? I enjoy having a car that keeps a distance automatically, that also keeps the lane automatically, that adjusts speed to whatever speed limit it reads, plus minus a couple, right? Okay. And so this is quite relaxing for me. And I think it would be the greatest thing to just get in a car and just read a paper or do some work or whatever, play a video game.
Right, yeah.
And then arrive at whatever destination refreshed, right? Because driving normally is quite stressful. So I would think that, you know, have some sort of autonomous vehicle that would be quite useful. Yeah doesn't need to be an automobile, it could be a drone or something like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're testing those drones for passenger travel. It's definitely not something I will be doing, but hey, I guess there's different risk levels for people. Bitcoin or dollar, I found was interesting as well that you said Bitcoin. Are you in the cryptocurrency space?
I dabbled a little bit.
Okay.
But, you know, I was a late adopter, so I took the full brunt of the latest, what they call correction. I don't know. Let's hope it stays that way, right? And before they call it like an exit or a crash.
Okay. And pie chart or bar graph?
Yeah, so
Coming back to our topic, of course, this is leading into the tough questions.
Yeah.
What's the reasoning on that one?
It's a fundamental it's a fundamental principle in UX, right? Mm-hmm. So, and pie chart versus bar chart is one of these few questions that you ask applicants, for example, that apply to positions in business intelligence and data visualization, right? So, because pie charts are widely used, but they're very bad for you. The thing is, like, if you have two segments in a pie chart that are very similar in size, your eyes as a human being can't really differentiate the size of these very efficiently. But if you've got a bar chart, then you've got two different bars that have like different heights, you can definitely see the difference
quite
easily.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
All right. Well, business intelligence, back to our topic then, a main topic at hand, visualization. That's a big part of business intelligence, but maybe you can just kind of give a broader definition or just a description of what business intelligence is really all about.
Yeah, so business intelligence in what we understand, what we derive or think the meaning of business intelligence is pretty much what the name says, right? Mm-hmm. So it's making what you're doing smart, right? So many things, even home appliances, have some sort of USB port today, right? Every coffee maker, toaster, whatever, has some sort of data collection device. Every second one in our company wears some sort of fitness bracelet or something. So everybody generates data on a daily basis. Huge, huge amounts, right? You've heard it in the news recently with the Cambridge Analytica Facebook thingy, right? So all of these huge chunks of data, business generate them as well, right? So in many processes, we get huge tons of data, and most of them are just stored, right? So people just shove them somewhere, say, all right, so we've got this, but they don't do anything with it, right? So in what our mission is just to create benefit from these huge amounts of data. So the software that we work with enables you to integrate all of this data, so to put it into context, right? So you would have your everyday, day-to-day business, the processes you normally use, and you would throw in all of these throwaway products, right, that the data is today, that those people just put in some sort of data warehouse and never look at again. Just crumb it out again, look at it and see what it tells you about your past and also about your future, right? If we talk about machine learning, all of these principles, this just integrates with business intelligence as well, right? Because it's pretty much what you do. It's like you take data and generate something from it. It's like a bit distilling a nice whiskey from some mash or something like that, right? So you've got a huge amount of things you can't really see or derive anything from it. But if you use the right methods to concentrate it, you generate information and intelligence, and then you can also generate some sort of directive for operations to react to what this data is telling you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You mentioned it also in the beginning, finding relations between data sets that probably nobody would have thought about before. The data's dusty sitting somewhere, or there's relations being created, right? What is your favorite or one of the most unusual relations that you uncovered in one of your BI projects? Is there something that stands out where you said, well, look at that, we combine this with that, and...
All right, so the thing is, there's a huge amount of this whole paradigm of correlation and causation not mm-hmm. necessarily being the same thing, right? There's huge amounts of blogs and websites about things that look as if they would correlate and then they don't in the end. So I think that the most surprising thing that many business users find is that many things that they would suspect are connected or interchained are actually not. Okay. And then they can find different patterns in their data. Something that was hugely surprising or revealing, I can't really come up with anything at the moment. Sorry.
Okay, that's all right. Maybe as we go on, something will be, wow, mind-blowing. But you had mentioned earlier as well about the process optimization and the relation. So can you explain a little more how business intelligence goes beyond visualization into this process optimization?
Yeah. So the thing is that business intelligence pretty much is a composite of two separate disciplines. One of them is the data side of business intelligence. So getting all of the stuff that you need to do the next thing, which is visualization, right? So generating information that a human can digest and interpret.
Mm-hmm.
So the first part is what we call ETL. So extracting, transforming, and loading data. This is something that that we enable people to do. Well, if you use business intelligence software that comes with many generic ERP solutions or different tools that you can just get free on the market,
mm-hmm.
they normally just allow you to look at the subset of data that this business intelligence, if we want to call it that, or analytics solution that it is delivered with,
mm-hmm.
right? What we try to enable people to do is to integrate the entire data that they've got, right? So for example, to use their ERP data in conjunction with their CRM data, in conjunction with some Google Analytics stuff and anything to see the whole story, right? Mm-hmm. You've got data points that connect these different systems today. And in many businesses, you already have people who are using things like Excel or Access to extract data from all of these different systems and mash them together.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we do, but on a larger scale, mm-hmm. right? So we try to get all of the data in one place to get it to talk to each other. And then we stick some sort of visualization on top of that to enable people to understand what is hidden in this new construct, in this new data model, in this data.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're creating knowledge then out of data, and this, however, leaves users with the decision of what to make out of this knowledge, correct?
Today,
at its most basic form, right? And so to leverage the gained knowledge, you would still need an expert, a person in the specific area where the data comes from in order to make...
Yeah.
decisions based on the data.
Speaking of like what the situation is like today, I would agree, certainly. Mm-hmm. You've got some sort of business user who's interacting with the business intelligence solution, looking at it and trying to understand what the numbers tell them and then derive some sort of executive decision from that,
mm-hmm.
right? The main difference is that many software solutions as well as hardware as well, it comes with some sort of API or interface that enables you to connect this to some sort of business intelligence solution as well. So you would theoretically be able today to automate many different business processes even today, mm-hmm. if you would interconnect or hook up your business intelligence solution to whatever hardware you've got or whatever other software you have. So we're not just limited to creating knowledge. We're also able to use this knowledge on an automatic or in an automated process to create some sort of consequence from it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Back to the data side of things, the business intelligence, everything's based on the premise that the data being processed is of good quality. And we all know that is often far from true in real companies, that there's chances for corrupted data or inaccurate data. That impacts then the end result, correct? Or are there ways to clean up that data before?
Yeah. Well, this is something that we actually hear quite a lot, right? Mm-hmm. So if we speak to people about the solutions that we can offer them and the ways that we can help them to live with their data in a different or even or in a better way than they are today, they say, "Ah, well, our master data is not good enough. We've got so many different problems within our data. We're not just quite there yet." But this is not true, right? So because there's a big T in this ETL that I mentioned before, right? So the transform step that enables you to pull out a couple of these kings, right? And on a different level, you can use business intelligence to point towards these flaws, right? If you've got some sort of like you've got a timeline of data, and then you see a massive peak somewhere in between, you know, okay, so there's something that I need to look at, right? This is the one line that you always delete from your Excel report. Yeah, so you would immediately see this, and then you could say, all right, so I'll just pick this out and correct it in the original system, and then it would be gone, mm-hmm. right? So you can use business intelligence to either clean up your master data and clean up your entire data set, or you could just use business intelligence to hide all of these flaws, right? It depends on it depends on whichever way you want to go, right? Mm-hmm. But at whatever stage you're at in your entire data preparation stage or whatever, you can always use business intelligence to at whatever stage you're at the moment, mm-hmm. right? So it doesn't really matter what data quality you've got. If you've got bad quality data, you can make better quality data using business intelligence, mm-hmm. or you can just use that and find ways to make it look better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What are, aside from this, something we often hear with the corrupt data or inaccurate data or bad data, as a main challenge, what are some other challenges for the successful use of business intelligence that you see?
I think the main obstacle that we normally need to overcome when we deploy business intelligence with our customers is that people need to rethink what's possible, right? Because they normally come with some sort of predefined report that they think, all right, so in the past we used this Excel sheet here with this one diagram that with this one bar chart or whatever. And so with business intelligence, you can broaden your scope a lot, right? So you can look at a lot larger proportions of data, combine many, many more data sources, mm-hmm. And have a lot more transparency in your business processes, right? So it's far less that the data quality is a problem, but the paradigm that most of these people are locked in, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's a changing mindset then.
That's right, yeah.
Within the companies. Mm-hmm. Maybe as a follow-up question then, would you think that every company needs a data scientist? It seems like this is the new trend profession. You hear a lot about data scientists now. What role would that person be then, the change agent within the organization? And Yeah, so who is this person and why is this person so important?
The thing is that data has become a huge asset within business today, right? So just like you have some people who are responsible for money within your company, you would have people who are responsible for data within your company. Because in a world that is moving ever faster, where decisions need to be made in a split second, earlier we spoke about decisions being made automatically, right? You need to be able to guarantee that these decisions are made on a sound basis, right? So you would need to have people who are always looking towards managing your data properly, trying to find new ways to garner advantages from this data. If you're not doing it, your competitors are already doing it. Mm-hmm. So this is something that you need to look at, that you need to talk about. And this whole thing of it being quite trendy, there's a reason for that, right? Mm-hmm. Data scientists are not merely limited to doing business intelligence things and looking at how to store data and how to collect data within a company. They're also machine learning experts. They're also people who are trying to find new ways to make this data work for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, I mean, definitely, what would be a typical route to getting involved in data science? We definitely don't need to study organic chemistry, but are you familiar with how one could get involved in that space?
Mm-hmm. So the thing is, the way that I did was, so when I first came here, they said, yeah, are you sure you can do that? Do you know what you're getting yourself into? And today I can say I probably wasn't. But the thing is, the way I started was I got a demo data set from Jens, who's my superior back in the day, right? And he said, yeah, just play around with it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a week later, I had my fitness tracker in there. I had my football games in there. I had everything in there and was just looking at data and trying to turn everything one way or the other and trying to find patterns and things in it. And it was just click with me, right?
So basically a basic interest in looking at data and finding connections.
That's
is
true,
a good
yeah.
place to start.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. And like I said, you generate data everywhere these days, social networks, anything. Mm. Just try to find your own footprint.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be astounded what you could find. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's talk trends in the business intelligence space. It's a big buzzword, business intelligence, but it's also an enormous field. So what is really hot right now in business intelligence? What's mm-hmm. what's the biggest buzz within that space?
I think the biggest buzz at the moment is smart data, right? So the thing is, at the moment, we were speaking about us integrating data, making data talk to itself or talking to each other, trying to find patterns, trying to use algorithms to develop some sort of forecasting model and things like this.
Mm-hmm.
I think the future is data that just looks at itself, is like self-aware, something like this, right? And this is what smart data is. You have some sort of cognitive engine behind your business intelligence solution that just analyzes your data sets for you and tells you what you need to look at,
mm-hmm.
right? So instead of having some sort of dashboard or an analysis software that you fire up and then start working with your numbers,
mm-hmm.
right? You would have some sort of email or message on your phone that just tells you, yeah, so everything's okay. Looking fine. Go back to sleep.
Okay. Yeah. What about what I hear a lot about is chatbots? What's all the hype around chatbots, and what does it have to do with business intelligence?
Right. So the way that we normally interact with data or with business intelligence is that we fire up our business intelligence solution and then look at our dashboard, look at our analysis, and interact with these numbers. Right, but in a world where everybody has got some sort of Amazon Echo at home or a Google Home or I don't know what the Apple one is called, but everybody has some sort of data assistant or is used to using Siri to create appointments and mm-hmm. stuff like that, right? So the next logical step would be to have someone you just ask, so what's my revenue per customer or what was my revenue last year?
Okay.
How are we performing, right? And you get these answers straight from some sort of business intelligence or data assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And we're already there. We at Inform are working towards creating these chatbots, creating these solutions,
mm-hmm.
right? So we integrate our business intelligence software API with different other APIs like mm-hmm. Slack, Skype,
mm-hmm.
Telegram, and even Amazon Alexa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in consequence to these, you pull information by asking questions, but you can also get push information, right? So you get alerts, get a WhatsApp when your operations are going downhill or everything's going fine. Depends on what kind of person you are, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. And as far as chatbots or business intelligence replacing humans, for example, in customer centers,
mm-hmm.
is that something that's going to be expanding, in your opinion?
Well, I don't think so. I wouldn't think that I'd be able to like predict what's mm-hmm. going to happen. But at the moment, the natural language processing, natural language generation that goes into these systems is quite powerful already. But I don't think that it will ever, or in the near future, reach a cognitive level a human person can generate. I think it'll enable people or enable businesses to take a lot of like generic workload away from these people, right? Have like these standard questions answered by, have you tried turning it off and on again, deflected to some sort of automated system, but
right.
Have your support staff focus on the really saucy saucy things, and have people you know, like enjoy their job again, because they can stop answering questions like where do I find the power switch, right?
Yeah. Okay. How about we hear business intelligence, and you had mentioned in the beginning your toaster has a USB or is smart and things like that. Is business intelligence relating with Internet of Things? What is the connection there, and what role will it play in the future?
Yeah, so like I said, business intelligence is pretty much the interface between all of these of this entire network mm-hmm. and the people who are interacting with it, right? Because we enable you to integrate all of the data sets that these IoT devices generate, and have you have some sort of window into this world, right? Because business intelligence and the way that we interact with data is pretty much just an interface between people who are looking at data and data, mm-hmm. right? So we generate some sort of information from this entire thing. So the IoT world or the Internet of Things is just another data source for us, put bluntly, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is there a specific industry where you see the most potential for business intelligence, or would you say, hey, anyone can use it?
I definitely would say anyone can use mm-hmm. it. I think this this is something that many people don't really see, is that even smaller companies generate huge amounts of data these days, right? Normally you think that this is some sort of expensive solution that is only something for huge companies who can't really get a grip onto their data. But this changes, right? Because even smaller companies that we work with today, they can't really manage all of the information that flows within their businesses with a couple of Excel sheets anymore, mm-hmm. right?
So even small businesses are dealing with large amounts of data.
Yeah. Oh. I think larger businesses are dealing with larger amounts mm-hmm. of data. Yeah. But even small businesses, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I typically end these interviews with a peek into the future. We already talked a little bit about predictions, and you talked a little bit about smart data. But where do you see the field of business intelligence in the coming years, even just looking at 2020?
Yeah, I think the biggest part, or the biggest shift, will be the way that people interact with data in the future and with business intelligence software, right? We've got very fancy visualizations which are browser-based, mobile, and anything today. But I think the future will definitely be somewhere where you just ask a question and you get the answer. Right,
so would back to that topic of chatbots.
Yeah,
chatbots then a little
need,
bit.
It
not
doesn't
even
need to be chatbots. Mm-hmm. It can be any sort of conversational interface.
Okay.
Right, because you need some sort of assistant, smart assistant. Right, because you won't be able to bring up the time anymore to dial or fire up your business intelligence software, look for the right app where you store all your data, and then navigate to the dashboard that you find the information. You just want to. just want the information now, right? This is the trend that we're looking at.
Mm-hmm. It'll be more streamlined than the information. Okay. Good. Well, thank you, Dr. Boris Michel. It was very insightful talking with you today. And that wraps up our time. But thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for your time, David.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That concludes episode 5 of Buzz IT Talk. If you have any questions for Boris, feel free to comment on our episode page at buzzittalk.com or reach out on any of our social media platforms we have listed on the site. And I've also included a link to the LinkedIn profile from Boris, so if you would like to reach out and start a discussion, he's open to your connection requests. If you are interested in sharing your insights on one of the many tech buzzwords, feel free to contact me at buzzittalk@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in.